I heard, was that Spencer that went, uh-oh, Grandpa coming up here? It's really good to be here this morning. Thank the Lord that I could walk up here. Last Sunday, I could hardly walk. It's amazing what rest and then the touch of God's healing, which I experienced. I think last Sunday, I had one of my children ask if I was going to make it. Here I am, praise God, in His strength. Lord God, we thank You for Your word this morning. It's always so powerful and so rich, so full. Father, I pray that Your word would speak, Father, deeply to our hearts. We're just mere men. And Father, we just look to You, Father, to speak to our hearts. Lord, we are in desperate need of You today and Your word working within us. Lord, that we could be strong in the faith. Lord, that we could stand in times of testing. Lord, that we could look to You with trust when we need to take steps of faith, taking a leap towards something that You call us to take a leap, Father. And then there's times that we feel so helpless and all we have is You to cry out to, Lord. And Father, I just pray that Your Holy Spirit would anoint Your word this morning as we share on these different things, Father. Thank You that You comfort our hearts every day, and Your word is just full of comfort. And it's full of encouragement and inspiration, Father, for us to walk faithfully with You. Father, as we look at the new year, Lord, we don't know what it holds, but we don't have to look at it in fear. Father, we can look at it, as Weldon said so well, with joy in our hearts, because we have a wonderful privilege to be alive, to be able to walk with You and to share the good news that You give to us every day. Father, and there's often people that You bring into our lives. And Lord, I pray that Your words of hope, Your words of comfort, Your words of conviction, whatever You place within us, Father, the Lord would pour from our lives as we connect with others. Father, I just pray now that You would fill this place, Lord, as You have, with Your Spirit and Your presence. In the name of Jesus, amen. Last Sunday, I opened up a little bit about comfort and thinking about the Christmas season and then with the coming of Christ, the tremendous hope, the tremendous comfort that it puts within us, and that we can share that comfort and that hope with others that we connect with. It's just interesting. It's every day I have the opportunity as I connect with people. A lot of them will say, oh, last week I had one tell me, it really looks bleak, doesn't it, in 2021? And I said, well, from our perspective, it does. But I said, with God, it's wonderful that we have Him to walk us through whatever we may face. I was thinking this morning, as a continuation toward the subject of comfort, there are so many wonderful Bible stories that bring comfort. Christmas brings tremendous comfort and hope. And there are other tremendous Bible studies that, or Bible stories that bring us so much hope. And I often refer to them and I think to myself, you know, God worked that out for that person in the Old Testament, and we are the same. And He can work it out for us. Ladies, how many of you would respond if there was a beauty contest and you were asked to join that beauty contest? Do you know that in the Bible there was a beauty contest, a request for beautiful women? I found that very interesting as I was looking at stories that were full of hope and comfort. And we can have strength and comfort as we stand for truth, as in this story of the beauty contest. I know that sounds very vain and weird, but it happened. But it didn't happen in a godly setting. It happened in a very pagan setting, but there was a godly woman that joined that beauty contest, and she won the beauty contest. There was a beautiful queen in this story. Her name was Vashti. And the Bible says she was beautiful. Beautiful to look at. And so here was the king, and this is found in the book of Esther. Here was the king, Ahasuerus, and he threw a big party. And they were drinking and having a wonderful time. And the Bible says, when his heart was merry, that means he was really feeling good, really happy from all the alcohol, that he called for the queen Vashti to come out, that everybody could see how beautiful she was. And what do you think the queen's response was? I think most of you know the story, but I'm going to tell it. Her response was no, and she was wise. It was not a good situation for a beautiful woman to step into a room of drunken people, because who knows what they would have done to her. And she said no. And that upset the king so badly, and he asked her, he tried again, and she said no. And he was so angry about that. And some of his servants suggested that he would dethrone her as a queen because she is not given a positive impact for a woman not responding to her husband. And there was a number of different things that they presented to him. And he said, you know what, you're right, we're going to remove her. And then it doesn't say what happened to her, it just said that she was gone. And who knows, she may have been killed. Knowing the how angry Ahasuerus was, that could have happened, but it doesn't say. So the suggestion was made, why don't you, king, consider the fact that there's a lot of beautiful women here and that we should gather all the beautiful women and take, and it would be like parading before the king and standing there and getting his, and letting him choose which one he wants to take Vashti's place. The interesting thing about this whole story was Esther. The Bible says she was very beautiful. Every bit as beautiful as Vashti. There was a difference between her and Vashti. Vashti was more bold, more aggressive. But as you read between the lines, you get the feeling that Esther was totally opposite. She was more shy. She was obedient. She was humble. And I think that enhanced her beauty. I think that made her even more beautiful. So all these ladies went before the king. Now they had to go through a purifying process to make him presentable to the king. And so after all the purifying was done, all the different oils and stuff they had to do, I was reading through that and I go, wow. But anyway, all of them were brought before the king, and Esther immediately caught the king's attention, and the Bible says she pleased him very much. Now, one reason why she was involved in that beauty contest, if you want to call it that, it was kind of like that, was because Mordecai, her cousin, said, why don't you go? Because I really feel like Mordecai thought that she would definitely be used by God for the Jewish nation if she could. So the motivation was a good motivation by Mordecai. Although when you look at it, you go, wow, why would you put somebody, a young lady like that through that? And See, Esther didn't have a mom and dad, so Mordecai raised her, and so he felt very responsible, and he felt like this was wise, that she should do this, and it wasn't because it was for anything vain or anything, but it was because I think he had a vision behind it all for the Jewish people who were in captivity at the moment under this pagan king. Anyway, so the story is, and it's interesting, there are some Bible scholars that say this is a controversial story. It may not be true. I disagree with that. This story is very true. Same way some people say that Jonah was not really a true. Yes, it was. It said the inspired word of God. I get weary when I read those things. They say this is a... No, there's nothing controversial that this was true. This is true. These accounts. And they're given to us for our instruction and for our encouragement and to inspire us to walk with God. And in this situation, Esther was brought to this moment at this time in the kingdom to stand for truth. And often God calls us to those moments to stand for truth. And in standing for truth, it brings us hope, it brings us strength, and it brings us comfort that we can stand for truth because God is for us. Who can be against us? So here she is. And of course, we know the story. Haman, who was a very proud man, and the king put his ring on him and made him one of his main guys. And then Haman, in all of his deceit and pride, gets very offended when Mordecai refuses to bow before him at the gate. And so he plans to kill Mordecai, and he built gallows. And then he even went to the king very slyly. The king did not see through, and the king didn't know that Esther was Jewish. And Mordecai kept telling her over and over, don't tell anybody that you're Jewish. Because he felt like that God was going to use her if they didn't better, even more effectively if they didn't know that. And maybe she wouldn't have been chosen if the king would have known that she was Jewish. But anyway, so Haman very slyly presents to the king about these people in his kingdom that are not supportive of him and that they should be killed. And he was referring to the Jews. And so he presents this. He said, why don't you make a decree that we get rid of all these people? And he agreed to it. And so the plan was they were going to get rid of all the Jews through destroying them in his kingdom. And then so Mordecai gets the word, and all the Jews are just very, very distraught and very, very scared. They felt like this is going to be the end of us unless somebody steps in. And so Mordecai was in sackcloth and ashes in the gate. And that was illegal for him to do that. And Esther saw that, and it really bothered her. She was afraid that her cousin, is it uncle or cousin? I can't remember. I'm thinking, is it Uncle Dave or is it cousin? I think it's cousin. Yeah, you're right. Frieda's nodding, cousin, yes. It was her cousin. But anyway, she felt horrible because she felt like by Mordecai doing this, that he was going to get killed. And so she... talked to him about it, and he said, well, he told her, he said, you're going to help, and we're going to have to do something here, and you're going to have to go before the king, and you're going to have to present the situation to him, and it's dangerous if you do it. If you go without an invitation, you just walk into the king, you can be killed for that. Well, Esther said, why don't we fast and pray for 3 days? But she said, if I perish, I perish. I often think of those words. What a brave young lady. If I perish, I perish. And I'm not sure if it was Mordecai that said that God has brought you to this moment for the kingdom of God. And all these different things were spoken in this story. And I was just thinking about how she stood for truth. And what she did, she told them to fast and pray and for 3 days, and then she went in the strength of the Lord. I really believe that the fasting and prayer was the secret strength that God used to pour into her. It was just, they really connected with God during that time of fasting and prayer. And I really think that's what empowered her to have the courage when she walked in there, not knowing whether the king was going to put his scepter there for her to touch. If he didn't, she was dead. And so she just walked in. I could just see her probably very humbly walking in. And he looked up, saw her, and immediately he took the scepter and pointed it toward her. And she walked up and touched it. And then she said, I have a request. She said, I'd like to have a banquet with you and Haman there. And so they did that. And then they did it another time. And I think, I can't remember, it was 2 times or 3 times. But the last time that she met with them, she just spilled everything out to the king right in front of Haman. And the king was so angry with Haman that he was so sly and deceptive of what he presented to him. And then he was shocked when Esther said, and if you allow this wicked man to do this, I will be destroyed because I'm a Jew. And I think that shocked Ahasuerus, and it made him furious at Haman. And you know, Haman didn't even know she was a Jew, but God used that whole thing to bring Haman's wickedness to an end. The Bible says that Haman was destroyed, and his sons, his family, they were all destroyed. The king had them hung on the very gallows that Haman had made to hang Mordecai on. I told this story for one reason, is because I was so moved by how this lady and even Mordecai, how they stood together for truth. And sometimes He may call us in 2021 in moments where we have to stand all alone. It's not fun standing all alone, is it? But sometimes God calls us to those moments, and it's not easy. We know in our heart what God wants us to do. We know what we believe. We know that if we do not say anything, that the situation could get really bad, and that by standing for truth, God could stop any wickedness that may be coming because of whatever the moment is. There's so many things, so many challenges that we face today, and God may test us this year, 2021. Well, He does anyway. He tests us every day, over and over, but He may bring us to a very crucial test in something. And so I'm sharing this morning because I believe when we stand for truth, God, and we are really connecting with God, and we're fasting and praying that God can bring that strength, that we can go forth and gain strength, we can go forward with the strength of God. We can do what Paul says. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I will press toward the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Another story that came to my mind as I was thinking about different things that we may experience in 2021. God may call you, He may call me to take a leap of faith in something. If you go to 1 Kings chapter 17, here was a story. It's a very familiar story, but here's a story of a woman that we don't even know her name. The Bible refers to her as the widow of Zarephath. Am I saying that right? Zarephath? I think that's right. Jesus even referred to her in his sermon in the New Testament, calling her the widow of Zarephath. Nobody knows her name, but 1 Kings 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to thy word, to my word." And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel, and that I may drink." And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, "Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." And she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." Now, I find it amazing that this woman even responded to Elijah. Most mothers, if they would have a son, and all they had was a little bit of food left, they would make sure, before they listened to anybody, that son would be taken care of. But this lady, this widow, who was not even Jewish, she was a Gentile. And here she is, responding the way she did. Let's just continue on. And Elijah said unto her, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth." And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. I'm just going to stop there for a minute. So, the widow of Zarephath, it's interesting that she never had a name, but it tells me that God knew her. She didn't have to have a name, and that she was considered by God, and by a lot of people she would not have been considered. She was poor. She had very little of anything, but despite this, God was aware of her needs, and he sent someone to meet them in a most very unusual way. All that was asked of her, that she would have faith. She would have faith. A pagan, Gentile woman having faith. And the, as you go on in the story, you come to the realization that she became a believer through this experience, because it goes on to say that she trusted Elijah's word. So all that was asked of her is that she would have faith, a greater level of faith than many of us today would be able to have. The widow was suffering from an ongoing drought that left many hungry. The prophet Elijah was in hiding when God told him to go to a specific widow to request for food and lodging. She was a Gentile. I'll just go over this a little bit because I went ahead of myself. She was a Gentile, not a Jew. He found her at the entrance of the town, gathering sticks in preparation for making what she expected to be her last meal for herself and her son. And when it was eaten, there would be no further food, and they would just simply wait and die. Elijah asked her for water, even though there was very little water because there was such a drought in the land and it was hard to come by. She went and got him water. Probably very little there to give him, but she gave it to him. And then he asked her for bread. And she explained that she had only a little meal and oil left. And he instructed her to make him a small cake and then to make a meal for herself and her son. He asked her to do this without fear and to trust his promise that God, a God that was not her God, would see to it that she would be taken care of. See to it that she would have meal and oil until the rains came again. Most women would have been too afraid to make this sort of sacrifice, particularly if they had a hungry child. This woman was not even a Jew, and so she might reasonably not have viewed Elijah as a prophet. Amazingly, though, she trusted Elijah's promise and Elijah's God. She took a leap of faith, and she made the cake, not knowing what was going to really happen. Although she, I think Elijah was very convincing to her, and his promise helped her to make that leap of faith, his promise about his God. And so she went ahead, made the cake, gave the water, and there was enough for her and her son, and she continued to have enough food during the years the prophet lived with her. I was just thinking about the many things that this story taught me. You know, there's often times God puts us in a situation where we're scared. You ever been in those situations? I think this woman was very scared. But there was something about Elijah's faith and his godliness that caused her to sit up and listen. But she was scared, but she went ahead and listened because she felt a certain sense of comfort that God was giving her through Elijah. You know, there are many lessons we can learn from this. One is that God pays attention to our needs, even when we aren't seemingly important. We think nobody notices us. God does. After all, we don't even know this woman's name, and yet Jesus Christ himself knew who she was, and he referred to her later on in the New Testament in his sermons. As poor as she was, she mattered to God. As poor as sometimes we are in our responses to life, we still matter to God. And there's often times that we do mess up, but doesn't change God's response to us, to our needs. You know, God doesn't look at our wealth or our social status or our culture that we're involved in. often when things are hard, I find myself wanting God to fix things before I demonstrate that I trust Him. You ever do that? You don't really trust, and so you just look to God to somehow fix this. Not really trusting. You're doubting. There's unbelief and doubt within you. Look at the widow. She took a leap of faith. And that's what God asks of us many times, to take that leap of faith. And He'll be there. And that's what He did. But too often we sit back and we say, we're going to see what God does here. No, sometimes He's calling us to take a step forward. And He's longing that we trust Him. And I guess that speaks to me so much this morning, that a lot of things don't get accomplished in my life because I wait for God to do something. And sometimes it's good, but there's times God is nudging us by His Spirit. We say, no, I can't. It's too scary. God, just fix this, and then I'll move forward. And God is often asking us, wanting us to do the opposite. Look at the priests. They stepped into the water, and the waters separated. Not when they stepped into the water, they didn't know, but the moment they stepped in, we read that story about Joshua and Jericho and how the priest just walked forward and taking that step forward, and God, and yeah, I was listening this week. The other night we were, my wife and I and Sarah and Katina, we were alone. We wondered what we could do for fun. And so we decided, each one of us, we would go around and play our favorite songs on our phones to each other, and it was an interesting night. My wife had a bunch of favorite songs she played. Well, we just kept taking turns going around the circle as we were sitting there together, and for some reason or another, it came up on my phone, "Step into the water, wade out a little bit deeper." If I'd have a men's quartet here, I'd have you come up and sing that for us. Anyway. That's what God so often calls us, to step into the water and to wade out a little bit deeper. I wish I had written the song words down, but something in the song says, there's times God calls us to stand up and fight for what is right. For the Word of God is our sword. We have His Word, and we have we have the Spirit of God. Why are we afraid? I love the verse in Psalm 18. I often read this when I feel scared and timid. I don't want to take any steps forward. I just want to sit back and wait for God to do something. And God is saying, no, I want you to step forward. And David says in this Psalm 18, verse 28, "For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall." Now, you won't leap over that wall if you just sit there and say, you know, I can't do that. It's too high. God, you're going to have to do something here. What would have happened to that widow? She would have probably died if she wouldn't have responded with a leap of faith to Elijah and went ahead and used the last bit of meal that she thought she had in oil and gave it to him. And then she was amazed as she did that. She looked back in the barrel and there was more cornmeal. And then she made herself a cake, and then she made her son a cake. And then he looked into the vessel where the water was, and there was still more water in there. She thought she had used the last drop. And it just kept going on and on like that as she kept taking steps of faith. And that's what God is calling us to do in 2021. To take that leap of faith. Because if we don't, who's going to know the truth? Who's going to hear the gospel unless we take a step of faith? Often, I'm in a situation where God is saying, speak. And there's a whole bunch of men standing there and they're laughing, making fun of God. And God is saying, speak. That's hard. It's scary. But then I look at this situation here and I'm thinking, that was scary. What's so scary? We have the Word of God. We have the Spirit of God. And we can go in the strength of God, as Deuteronomy 31:8 says. Let me just read that to you. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. They're just mere men. You have God. You're just a mere man, but you have God. That makes the difference. You have God within you, and you can step forward. He goes on to say in 31:8, and the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. And then also, Deuteronomy 3:22. Again, talking about trusting the Lord. And the Lord said unto me, fear not, for I will deliver him and all his people and his land into thy hand, and thou shalt do unto him as thou didst unto Zion, king of the Amorites, which dwelt in Heshbon. And there was another verse that I read where it said, the Lord will fight your battle for you. So step into the water and let him fight for you. But sometimes, unless we take that step of faith, nothing happens. We just sit there. Yes, there are scriptures that say, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Well, there's often God calls us to step forward. There are moments where God says, wait. Don't do anything rash. Wait upon me. And that's where the spirit of discernment of God comes into us. Isaiah 43, just a powerful passage, and we've often quoted it, but it's just nonetheless so true. When we walk in faith and we take a leap of faith, he says, but now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. Why are you scared? Don't be afraid. I have redeemed you. I've called thee by the name, thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord, thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. I'm just going to stop there. And I love Psalm 27. As I was studying this, God brought that to my mind. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though an host should camp against me, my heart shall not fear. And it goes on to say, but one thing I will be confident and desire, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And when we are in His presence, we can go forth with confidence. And David talks about spending time in that passage, experiencing the beauty of God, experiencing worship. And when we are experiencing that, it seems as though, well, I know it happens, all the fear that you have because of men just kind of melts away, because you are connected with such a higher power. You have enjoyed such worship, and you have gained so much strength. And I really believe that's what happened with Esther and her people. When they connected with God and fasting and prayer, Esther was not afraid. She said, if I perish, I perish. God has brought me to the kingdom for such a time as this. And what about you and me? He may bring us this year, 2021, over and over for such a time as this. He may be calling us to take a stand for truth and to not compromise. And there's so much crumbling and compromising going on today in the world, and even in the Church of God. It's horrible to watch. And you know, unless we stand guard, unless we fast and we pray, just as Esther and Mordecai and the Jews, and just as Elijah was so connected with God continuously, he was not afraid to speak in terrible situations where it was scary. I mean, he spoke fearlessly to kings that wanted to kill him. And God protected him and used him in a mighty way. And things changed. Things happened. What about us? We wonder why things don't happen. Why things don't change in God's kingdom. Perhaps He's calling you. He's calling me. 2021. To take a stand for truth. Now, I know it's not popular often. May face ridicule. You may be mocked. You may be laughed at. Doesn't matter. When you are having that two-way connection with God, talking to Him, because He's your friend, He's your Redeemer, He's your Savior. You're talking with Him, and then you open His Word, let Him talk back to you. And there's that constant two-way conversation going on in your life. When that happens and you're making constant connection with God, it's amazing how the fear of man and so many things just kind of melt away, and you're just enjoying the presence, the sweet presence of God. And the enemy who wants to destroy you, you won't find him in that situation. He'll be gone. If you're in the middle of a temptation and you're struggling and you're about ready to give in, greater is He that is in you. Is He in you? Because if He is, you will find yourself in that moment standing because of that extra power and that extra level that He takes you to, that takes you above that moment. It's very powerful what He wants to do in our lives today. I'm going to stop. Thank you. God may call you to stand alone. Don't be afraid. He may call you this year to take a real definite leap of faith. Don't be afraid, for the Lord your God is with you whithersoever you go. Thank you. Thank you.